He lent Agassi his notes, then came very much to regret it, as Agassi increasingly got the credit for what Schimper felt, with some legitimacy, was his theory. Charpentier likewise ended up a bitter enemy of his old friend. Alexander von Humboldt, yet another friend, may have had Agassi at least partly in mind when he observed that there are three stages in scientific discovery. First, people deny that it is true, then they deny that it is important, finally they credit the wrong person. At all events, Agassi made the field his own. In his quest to understand the dynamics of glaciation, he went everywhere, deep into dangerous crevasses and up to the summits of the craggiest alpine peaks, often apparently unaware that he and his team were the first to climb them. Nearly everywhere, Agassi encountered an unyielding reluctance to accept his theories. Humboldt urged him to return to his area of real expertise, fossil fish, and give up this mad obsession with ice. But Agassi was a man possessed by an idea. Agassi's theory found even less support in Britain, where most naturalists had never seen a glacier and often couldn't grasp the crushing forces that ice in bulk exerts. "Could scratches and polish just be due to ice?" asked Roderick Murchison in a mocking tone at one meeting, evidently imagining the rocks as covered in a kind of light and glassy rime. To his dying day, he expressed the frankest incredulity of those ice-mad geologists who believed that glaciers could account for so much.